When it comes to intrusive data collection, Facebook actually might be the least of our problems. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Facebook, Google, smart speakers that might be overhearing every word you say. There are lots of companies that you know present a risk to your privacy, but then there are the hundreds of companies you haven't heard of, making billions of dollars buying and selling incredibly detailed dossiers about everybody, pretty much regardless of how you might try to protect yourself. These are data brokers. And privacy experts say you can talk about regulating Facebook or Google, but you'd only be scratching the surface of the data economy. Here's Michelle Richardson, director of the Data and Privacy Project at the Center for Democracy and Technology.
A lot of the media now focuses on Facebook or Google because they're household names, but the system is really so complex, and the data brokers are operating at a level below that where consumers just don't see and they just don't interact with.
We've sort of built a model where everyone takes everything just in case. And it seems like it would be a large, both philosophical and legal and financial shift to say, no companies, you know, you've got to work with the minimum viable amount. But I wonder, like, how hard is this?
It's unprecedented in the U.S., right? So I don't want to underplay how difficult it is, because this is going to require a change in mindset and legal structures and consequences for people. And not everything we do online has to be done in exchange for free services or sharing data or helping someone build their next product.
I was talking to somebody recently about climate change who sort of said, a climatologist who said, I used to tell people to take these individual actions. And at this point, I'm telling them that's not going to help. Like, you need to, you know, come up with something that your whole city can do. And it kind of feels like we're there with our own data footprints, too. Like, even if you and I try to turn off the hose or don't get an Amazon Echo or, you know, don't use these various products, deprive ourselves of existing in the modern world, that it kind of doesn't even matter.
That's right. Information is collected about you passively everywhere you go, you know, and it's everything from these stories about you can now walk into a retail store and they are taking pictures of your face to see what you're looking at. Are you smiling? What you buy? Right? All that stuff is able to be reassociated to a real live human being. And that's just because you walked in to buy a soda out of a CVS. Even if you want to be like a lean data person and choose to opt out of some of the big names that we know to be bad actors, there's just no way out of this now, not in 2019. So we just need to accept that and expect better from our private sector and how they handle our data.
What are, I could imagine companies saying, we need this information to conduct our business, or that consumers, you know, really like those targeted ads. Are there downsides of data brokers not having this level of information?
Well, there are a lot of different advertising activities out there, and you do not have to get this granular to serve people ads that are relevant to their lives. So the idea that it's sort of an on or off switch, right? We either have advertising or not, is probably a little too simplistic. You could, for example, say that because someone is visiting a sports website that they might want to see ads for tickets for the local football team, right? Or something relevant to that website. That would be one way to do it. So you don't actually have to track people for many years across devices and services and behaviors to come up with a way to understand what they might want to see more of. And that sort of middle road would be a way to keep advertising and advertising models alive without the creep factor and the intrusive information tracking.
Michelle Richardson is director of the Data and Privacy Project at the Center for Democracy and Technology. Data brokers are almost completely unregulated. A law that went into effect last month in Vermont is the first to make third-party data brokers register with the state. So far, 121 companies have done it. And now for some related links. Fast Company has a piece on the 121 companies who have registered in Vermont so far, and a look at the law itself. which privacy advocates say is still missing some pretty big elements around actual privacy. While it does require companies to register and it does require that data be stored securely, it doesn't give consumers any way to opt out of having their information collected, or even a way to review what information is stored, correct it, or know where it came from. Okay, now, back to Facebook for a moment. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know I had some strong words in response to an essay that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg posted yesterday, outlining his vision for more privacy-oriented social networking. It said that people, quote, increasingly want to connect privately in the digital equivalent of the living room. And then it said that, quote, now, with all the ways that people also want to interact privately, there's also an opportunity to build a simpler platform that's focused on privacy first. I would like to say a couple things about that. First, if you are an entrepreneur thinking of trying to build a simple platform that's focused on privacy first as a way to try to compete with Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg just announced that he plans to co-opt your idea and possibly acquire you. So please don't think this is not about scooping the competition, because it is. Secondly, we probably preferred this method of communicating all along. In fact, it's what we kept trying to accomplish with Facebook, except that the product kept pushing us in the direction of more sharing, more public sharing, more connections with people with only the vaguest possible connection to our actual lives, a place for news, our friends and friends of friends on offer for all kinds of apps and services and advertisers. And now, like, I might buy that this is a sincere pivot to privacy and a realization that this is a good way to communicate, if it weren't for the fact that Mark Zuckerberg himself seems to have known for all of his adult life that this is a good way to communicate. This is a guy who mocked his users in college for sharing their personal information. This is a guy who covers his own laptop microphone with camera, with tape. This is a guy who bought up all the property around his house so he could have more privacy. This is a guy who granted himself disappearing messages on Facebook when no one else had them. So if your measure of trusting someone is based on how they act and not based on what they say, and I find that this is a good rule in life, then approach this new embrace of privacy for what it is, which is not philosophy, it's business. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.